say this, boy, people are going to get mad. They're going to think I'm trying to talk down other Christians or something. I'm not. But, you know, I'm just telling you, if there's a Christian who's just living this traditional little Christian life where they're just, you know, they're showing up, they have a Christian tradition, you know, they kind of do their religious duty, you know, they never really dig into the word and things like that. You know, I'm telling you, that life isn't challenged nearly as much. But when you dig into the things of God, when you get filled with the Spirit, when you become an actual threat to what the devil is doing, and you start spending time with your Heavenly Father in the Holy Ghost, when you start seeing and knowing what God wants to do, you know, the devil is going to challenge that life more than any other on this earth. The devil has no concern about a happy little traditional Christian life. He just doesn't. The Christian that just goes to church, and they might even be born again, but they never learn what it's like to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They never, you know, learn what God has for them and the promises of God. The devil is not necessarily concerned with that. But I'll tell you what, a Spirit-filled life is going to take you through the wilderness, and the devil's going to be there to knock on your brain. He's going to pound on your brain. Yeah. And a lot of times, unfortunately, the devil found Jesus full. A lot of times the devil finds Christians empty. All of a sudden they've backed off the things of the Spirit. They've backed off from meditating in the Word. They've backed off their confession of faith. Then there's real trouble. Because watch what the devil does. Now, I think it's really interesting. See, when we get full of the Spirit, we get abilities. When you get filled with the Spirit, you get different abilities. You know, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, and we may go over there and take a look at that, but to be full of the Spirit means to receive ability. And I think it's very interesting. You know, the first thing, Jesus is full of the Spirit. The first thing happens to him is he's thrust out into a wilderness. The devil shows up, and the first ability he has being filled with the Spirit is to know how to resist demonic power. The first thing he knows how to do, he knows how to recognize what is God versus what is the devil. Absolutely, watch this. The devil said to him, if you be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Folks, is there anything wrong with bread? Is there anyone here today that you've eaten some form of bread at some point today? Anybody? Yeah, we eat bread all the time. Is there anything wrong about bread? Is there anything wrong about Jesus having a meal after 40 days of not eating? Nothing wrong with that. So what was wrong with this bread? It's where it came from. It's not, there's nothing wrong with the bread. It's who suggested it, who spoke it, who said it. So you can say it this way. Jesus was offered something good that wasn't God. And the first thing he knew what to do is he knew how to refuse something good if it didn't come from God. Being full of the Holy Ghost will allow us to navigate this life to know the things that are good that are God and the things that are good but are not God. God gives people bread. How many of you believe that? Now the devil is trying to give Jesus some bread. It's a matter of, you know, where it's coming from or who is suggesting it. And so Jesus answered in verse 4, Jesus answered him saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Jesus is saying it's not because the bread would be wrong, it's because who suggested it, the word did not come from God here. The suggestion came from the enemy. Do you think that the enemy is gonna suggest good things in your life that are not God? What if he finds you, the devil, and suggests these things at a moment when you're not full? How much easier is it to receive something that's good, that's the wrong thing, especially when you've just been walking in the wilderness? It would have been, if you are empty, that wilderness would have prepped you and prepared you to take the first good thing that comes your way. Are you getting a hold of this? So why am I saying this? Jesus came out full, and the first ability that he had was to recognize what was good versus what was God. Amen. There's a lot of good things we can do. There's a lot of things. There's nothing wrong with it. It could be business. It could be, you know, making money. It could be buying and selling. It could be activities. It could be all the above, whatever your thing is. Yeah. You know, being full of the Spirit is to know how to set priorities, to know what things God has chosen for you in your life. And folks, I'm here to tell you that there's things in all of our lives that we love, that we enjoy. Now, God has placed a lot of them there, but there's every once in a while, he's gonna show you something that is not for you. And your soul will be attached to that thing that you have to give up. And your soul will hurt. Your soul might cry. Your soul might get angry about it that you have to, you know, push something away. There's a lot of things in my life over the years I've had to push away. They were good. You know, they might have even made me money. They might have even, you know, been a blessing or whatever. But then God revealed to me, wait a minute, that was good, but it wasn't me. Right. We got to know the difference. Why am I sharing this with you? Because this is the life of being full. Because when you're full, you're gonna see and know what God has for you. Are you here? You're gonna see and know what relationships are good for you. What is a good relationship for you? One that helps keep you full. What does the scripture say? That scripture seems, you know, the Spirit of God started us off today. I mean, think about this. And when I say this, there's gonna be people get upset with me, whatever. You know, just bear with me here for a second. 1 Timothy 3:5. There will be people that will have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. But that's not where the verse ended, is it? What did the last sentence say? From such? From such? From such, turn away. From godly people who don't want the power. That sounds harsh. That doesn't mean you can't have friends. You understand where it doesn't mean you look down on Christians. But what is that verse talking about? Because God knows that if we put people in our closest confidence who don't help us keep us full, right, what's gonna be the other option? They're gonna defeat us. They're gonna bring us down. And it's like, oh my goodness, Pastor, you're making it sound like I shouldn't have a friend outside the church. Wrong. Thank God for other Christians. Thank God for, go have friends outside the church. You know what I mean? Have other Christian friends. I'm talking about those that you lean on, those that you are close to their counsel. And if they want nothing to do with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they want nothing to do with the light of Jesus Christ, which we're gonna look at here in a moment, you better watch out, because you'll find yourself being drawn in the wrong direction. Oh boy. Those having a form of godliness. I'm telling you, and this sounds, you know, a little bit almost absurd to say, you know, and it's hard to make people understand. Folks, I cannot overemphasize the spiritual attack that is taking place right now to try to end the Spirit-filled life. Trying to just take the Spirit-filled life and subtract it out of Christians' lives. That's what the devil is after. That's why God says if you're putting yourself around those, if your closest confidants are those that do not want the power of God in their life, if they've turned away from that, you know, be careful. Because it could easily find you in a place where you're in a bad spot. Being full of the Holy Ghost. What's our goal for our kids? This just came to me. What's the goal for our kids in this life? Is our goal just to have kids that are honest and pure? Well, of course we want honest and pure kids. But our goal as parents should be raised kids that stay full, that long for the fullness of God. Sometimes we think as parents, you know what, I'd just be happy if my kid grows up to be a honest, tax-paying, contributing Christian citizen. They're, you know, for God and country, you know. Just keep them honest and hardworking and real Americans. Yes, I agree. We should have some of that, right? But I'm, you know, the point that I'm making is our goal as parents isn't, you know, don't set your target for your kids to be, you know, just good people. Set the standard in your home that they would know how to live a life that's full of the Spirit. Oh, are you here tonight?
Yes,
praise the Lord. Go with me to Acts chapter 1. Go to Acts chapter 1. Full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. I won't have you lift your hand, but is there anybody here that in your own life you've seen now that maybe as you hear this message or you consider it for just a moment, have you seen the life of being full of the Spirit? Have you seen it under attack? Have you seen that temptation to be drawn away from it? Absolutely. Go to Acts chapter 1. And now let's look at verse 4. Acts chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 4. Here we go. Praise the Lord. This is Jesus after his resurrection. He's now assembled together with the apostles. There's 11 of them now because Judas went and did his thing. And it says, Jesus being assembled together with them, commanded. Everyone say commanded.
Commanded.
Now, this is after his resurrection. Commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said that you have heard of me. Here's the promise of the Father. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be what? Baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now.
Yes.
All right. Hold your place there in Acts 1. We're coming right back. Go over to Matthew chapter 3. How many of you believe we should walk in the light of Christ? All right, there was at least three hands that went up in this church. Praise the Lord. All right. How many of you believe we should be walking in the light of Christ? Amen. Go to Matthew chapter 2. Mm-hmm. Wow. Go to verse 11. Excuse me, Matthew chapter 3, 11. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Remember the words of John the Baptist? He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I. Who's John talking about right there?
Jesus.
All right. You know the verse. You know where this is going. He's mightier than John, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He, Jesus Christ, shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. All right. And so who is the one that does the baptizing in the Holy Ghost? Jesus. To walk in the light of Christ. You're going to have to receive the ministry of Jesus Christ. Folks, when we talk about the baptism of the Spirit, you know, do you have to be baptized in the Holy Ghost to go to heaven? No, you do not. But if you're going to live on this earth for a while, if you're going to fulfill the plan of God for your life, folks, how many of you know also, it's not about our lives, so to speak. How many of you know for God to get done what he needs to get done, he needs full Christians, full Christians. And so the very ministry of Jesus Christ is to baptize his body, all of us believers in the Holy Ghost, amen, to walk in the light of Jesus Christ, to walk in all that God has for us is to walk in the fullness of the Spirit.
Yes.
Folks, we gotta know this.
Yes.
And so when people start turning away from the Spirit-filled life, and they make excuses saying, well, the Spirit-filled life is just, you know, I don't like the Pentecostal stuff. Oh, I don't like the full gospel stuff. I don't like the word of faith stuff. Turning away from the baptism of the Spirit is not turning away from a denomination. It is turning away from the ministry of Jesus himself. Every single Christian has a spirit, like a homing beacon. There should be something in our hearts that longs to be filled with the Spirit or baptized in the Spirit as Christ has for us.
Yes.
Amen. Now, verse 12 is a verse that we don't usually look at. It's talking about Jesus still. It says he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, of course, there's a lot of interesting ideas about what that fire is, the Holy Ghost fire and, you know, and so on. You know, can the Holy Ghost, you know, coming into your life, can it give you the unction to dance or to run? Absolutely. Absolutely. Can it give you an unction of joy? Absolutely. An outburst and praise the Lord? Yes, absolutely. But what that fire is of the Holy Ghost is to burn down things in our lives that shouldn't be there. Watch. That's what it says in the next verse. The fire of God on the inside is to discover and to burn down the things in our life that might even be good but aren't God. Look at verse 12. It says, Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Notice the semicolon at the end of verse 11. He's not done. It says, whose fan is in his hand. All right, is that, you know, we're not talking about like one of those Southern Bell fans, you know? You know, Southern Bell, you know? Steel Magnolia, whatever it is, right? Whose fan is in his hand. No, this is a fan bellows. Do you know what bellows are? Bellows are that thing, you know, when you got a fire going and you, it's to make the fire hotter. Makes it hotter. His fan is in his hand, his bellows. Meaning Jesus is going to stoke the fire. Meaning he is not okay with a fire that's not burning bright. He's not okay with a dead fire in your spirit. He's not okay with a pile of ashes that we've let grow cold on the inside because we don't pray in the Holy Ghost anymore. Whose fan is in his hand. And Jesus will thoroughly purge his floor. He'll purge it with what? Fire. He's going to purge his floor. And gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Man. Pastor, my heels are getting hot listening to this. That's not the goal. The idea is here, what is the chaff? Think about wheat. You know what a threshing floor is? Remember in the old days, they'd gather the wheat and they'd throw it on that big rock slab. And they'd either beat the wheat or sometimes they'd put a millstone run over it. And it separates the wheat kernels from the stalk. Remember that? And they would gather up the wheat, and then the rest of it was just chaff. Right. What is chaff? It's the useless things. Uselessness. Yeah. The fire of the Spirit in our life is to burn up uselessness. Yeah. And the devil is using uselessness against the body of Christ more than ever before. Uselessness. You say, Pastor, but they're good things. Listen, I get it. Folks, if I was given into my flesh too, there'd be a lot of things I'd be doing differently right now. No doubt our flesh wants to do things in this and that. But this is, you know, when Joshua said, but for me in this house, we will serve the Lord. Things that are useless that have the opportunity of getting in the way of the things of God, they're going to be burned up. There's no room in these last days for uselessness. Now, I have to qualify that because people will start putting their own definition. Pastor, okay, my life of fun is over. You know, I'll never do anything I like ever again. Oh, no, that's not what I'm saying. Is there anybody here that you're going to do some things that you like and enjoy before the week is out? Yes. Absolutely. You know, praise the Lord. You know, I mean, there's things that we have for hobbies, activities we enjoy. Those things are not useless if they don't get in the way of God. Or if they don't give you an appetite to follow something that takes you away from the power. Are you getting a hold of that? Listen, anything in your life that is killing the fire or putting your fire out, it's got to go. You ever started doing things, you know, maybe just bringing things into your life? There were things I started bringing into my life that started to kill my fire. And so guess what? They went. And even though these things were even good, and at times they were even making me money. You know, there was things that I was even naturally really, really enjoying. But see, being full of the Spirit means knowing how to distinguish that which is good versus that which is God.
Yes, amen.
Oh, my goodness. I will talk about that. The first time ever, I didn't know my goal. And it wasn't a secret, and there was many of you here that knew it. There was a time I had a YouTube channel. Do you know that YouTube was paying me $1,000 a month just to make videos on my cell phone about old cars? I mean, it was simple. It wasn't even all that time consuming. Now, does that mean you couldn't do something like that? No, but for me, I'm just talking about for me. And it was something that I just really enjoyed. It was like, you know, an out for me. It just was, you know, something that, I'm not crying. My mouth is going dry. My mouth is going dry, trust me. And something that I really enjoyed, and it was a real kind of getaway for me and stuff. It helped me take my mind off ministry and all this stuff. There's just so many things naturally that I can say, boy, this was good. I mean, it was money, it was fun, it was relaxing, you know, all this stuff. And the Lord, you know, spoke to me I'll just be real honest. He spoke to me a couple of months before I even acted on it. You ever had something in your life that you just really enjoy and you just feel like, but no way, did I really hear that? Was that God or was that me? Was that really him? But yeah, in the depth of your spirit, you know it was him. You know, I was like, God, was that really you? I'm gonna pray some more about it. Wait, really? You know, all this stuff. And then it was just, you know, it was in the middle of the night, you know, one night I was like, God was very emphatic about it. And so I was like, that's it. It's gone. You know, away it goes. Shut it down, all that. That was fun. It was money making. It was all the things that, you know, I didn't even have like a professional camera. I'm talking about my iPhone 11. I'm like four models behind the newest ones, right? I was just taking videos on my phone. You know, that's all I was doing, taking, you know, trips and, you know, that stuff. It was good, but it wasn't God. You know, and I even, you know, was like, Lord, you know, what is that? Why is that? He said, what do you want to be known for? What do you want to be known for? And I said, I want to be known as a man of God. Do you want to be known as a car tuber? You want to be known as the car guy? Is that your legacy? See, now I might cry. You know? And I was like, nope. See, folks, now that does not mean that somebody in here, listen, if you can do something that's godly and constructive and put it on YouTube and get paid, go do it. So much. There's so much. You know, there's a ton of easy money in this world. There is. There's a ton of easy money in this world. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we can just go out and, you know, do things like that, and God will bless us and yada, yada, yada. I had so many people tell me, well, Pastor, don't give that up. You enjoy that. If money, if whatever, just donate the money to the church. You know, there's a lot of good ideas. There's a lot of ways to try to incorporate God into something that's getting in the way to justify doing it. I say to the Lord all the time, I was saying it today, nothing in my life is my own. I am a steward of all things. If it needs to go, Lord, just show me. And you know, every time I've said that, he's always been faithful. He showed me the things, yep. Of course, you all know the sailboat story, told it again. You know, it was something that, is sailing a good thing? Yes, it is. Constructive, active, you know, listen, there's people, you can enjoy those things and whatever, but it was consuming my life, right? It was good, but it wasn't God. What will the Holy Ghost do in your life? Burn up the uselessness. What was that YouTube channel? It was useless for me. For me. Man, I asked the Lord. I was like, okay, why do I have to give this up? He told me. Do you know that God will tell you if you ask him? He'll tell you if you ask him. He said, what do you want to be known for? I was like, oh my goodness, I don't want, like, do you want to be known as a man of God? Or do you want people just look at you and the first thing they think about is old cars? And then, I guess I'll just tell on myself. Is it okay? Man, I'm a real despicable heel, you know, man. But hey, if this helps you to understand the message, you know, speaking of, you know, that was something, you know, that I got into and enjoy, and I still do, and it's something that the Lord led me into to enjoy in my life, was older cars. You know, I've always enjoyed that. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, life is a lot better driving around in something that was made in the 60s than something that was made right now. I like old cars. That is a joy in my life that God gave me. And guess what? I don't have to give it up. God's put it in my life. Praise the Lord. But guess what I did with it? I went too far. So a year ago, over about a year and a half ago, all of a sudden, I mean, I was Mr. Motorhead. I was building engines, you know, out there, you know, working in the shop and all this stuff. And, you know, everything that could be done to a car, I've learned how to do it, you know. And that's no fun now because now I'm like the extended family mechanic, which you don't want me working on your car unless you're really, really desperate. Praise the Lord. And so, but, you know, over a year ago, all of a sudden I realized, all right, thank you, Lord, but I took something too far. You know what? And the Lord started to show me that you're just taking it too far. So guess what I did? Way they go. Putting things up for sale. Down the road they go. Because, folks, there's times that all of us, the devil will try to, it's like jujitsu, all right? Do you know that judo, is different than karate? Karate is the ability to strike. Judo is the ability to use your opponent's momentum against them. If they're charging at you, don't, you know, stop them. Use that momentum and bring them over and put a move on them, right? Okay? The devil is not so much into karate. He's way more into judo. He will take momentum in your life. Things you enjoy, you'll say, oh, you like that? Even God gave that to you? Oh, that's great. Come on over here. And he will take that momentum and all of a sudden carry you too far into something. Absolutely. Oh, that business, that's of God. Oh, that's going so great. Oh, let's just keep and keep you running further with it than God ever intended. You see what I mean? He is a judo master. He will even take, momentum from things that God put in your life. Man, I'll tell you what, that is something, anything I get into, I want to go all the way with it. That's just my nature, is to whatever I do, I just feel like I got to take it, you know, all the way. That can be good. It's been great for ministry, but bad. It's great for family, but bad for hobbies, you know? Praise God. I am an outdoorsman. I am a hunter. But man, when I got into it, it was like full steam ahead. And all of a sudden, the Lord was like, yes, I blessed you with that. But see what the devil was doing? Just take that momentum. Sure. Take it too far. Folks, these are just examples from my life. Yeah. I'm sure now as you hear this, you can probably go over, you know, your life. You know what? I've seen Christians even do this with prayer and word time. You say, well, Pastor, you mean there's too much, there's such thing as too much prayer? No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that I have seen believers get themselves into such works. Because it's like, okay, I got to pray an hour or two every day. And if I don't, then I'm going to beat myself up and feel worthless. The devil will see that works-mindedness and he will pound you over the head with it. All right. Are you getting anything out of this here tonight? What am I getting at? The baptism of the Spirit was there, is given to us to know what is useless and to burn up those things that are useless. Go back to Acts chapter 1. We're going to be done here in just a moment. Go to Acts chapter 1. Now you're going to see this. Remember, Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait till the promise of the Father, which for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Jesus was already resurrected. Why couldn't they leave? Why didn't Jesus just say, okay, I'm risen from the dead, go tell the world? Folks, because their message was going to have no power behind it until they were full of the Spirit. Right? Go back to verse 5, Acts 1:5. For John truly baptized with water, Jesus speaking, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. And when they therefore were come together, they asked Jesus, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But you, my people, you, the body of Christ, you, my Christian servants, but you shall receive power. Everyone say power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. How many of you believe Jamestown, New York is the uttermost parts of the earth? Here we are. So guess what God needs right here in Jamestown, New York? He needs Spirit-filled believers. Spirit-filled believers. Say, well, Pastor, I know another Christian, they're not Spirit-filled. No, 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 it doesn't mean that God doesn't love them or, you know, thinks of them any less. Folks, don't let somebody pull you out of the Spirit-filled life. Pull them into the Spirit-filled life. Show them what it looks like, because after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you're going to receive power, and you shall be what? Witnesses. I love this word, witnesses. You know, if you look this up, this word witness, in the original Greek, it is the word martyr. 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 Like, what? See, you thought witnessing was going up to somebody and handing them a gospel tract. You thought that witnessing was inviting somebody to church. Or we thought the extent of witnessing was asking somebody if they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That is true. We need to ask people that. But you know the witnessing here? The word here for witness, it means somebody who is put on display. That's what that word means. They say, well, yeah, martyr, though. That's somebody that's put on display for a very bad thing. Well, it does mean somebody who is willing to face a world that hates them. Amen. Folks, here we go again. If you are going to be Spirit-filled, if you desire that in your life, well, I have to say, it must come with a warning. The world is not going to love you for it. The devil in this world does not take it easy on the Spirit-filled believer. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Amen. Absolutely. But you shall receive power. Do you know what that word power means? It means power, strength, and ability. Amen. You're going to have abilities that you didn't have before. You're going to be able to see things that you couldn't see before. You're going to be able to hear God's voice where you couldn't hear him before. You're going to know what's good for you versus what's useless for you. That Holy Ghost, you're going to live life full like Jesus lived it. Amen. Everywhere you go, the word there, martyr, it means the ultimate example. Folks, our witness, of course, we need to approach people that we love and we care about. And ask them, have you made Jesus your Lord and Savior? Tell them how to get saved. Better yet, lead them in that prayer to get saved. Amen. But you know the word witness here? It doesn't mean because you went up to them on the street. The word witness means is that your example was obvious. Amen. When they saw you, they saw the light of Christ. They saw the goodness and the power of God on your life, not because you just handed them a gospel tract. Right. Nothing wrong with that. Thank God for people that do that. Thank God for people that witness. And we always think of the term witness is that we automatically listen. Folks, how many of you know when they got filled with the Spirit, The first thing Jesus said is that the lost are going to notice you. A martyr means one who is ultimately noticed, even by death if need be. Wow. What does that mean? If you cared about the lost, you would love the idea of being spirit-filled. Because when you're spirit-filled, the lost are going to notice you. They're going to see the power of God in your life. All right? It is impossible for God to be moving in your life and have nobody really notice. Folks, what God is, Jesus is saying here, he said, when I put my spirit upon you and within you and you're baptized in my spirit, you're going to be different. You're going to be different. You're going to be noticed. You're going to think nothing like the world. You're going to act nothing like the world. You're going to talk nothing like the world. But yet, what are most Christians doing today? Acting like the world. Talking like the world. You know, having a form of godliness, but denying its power to burn up uselessness. Denying the power of the baptism of the Spirit. Folks, I don't know about you, but I want to live daily filled with the Holy Ghost. Get full, stay full. Get full, stay full. How many of you got something out of this here tonight? You know, I didn't have any notes. I didn't have any sermon prepared. Today I just sat in my office and I prepared the man more than I prepared the message. You know, I didn't sit there and make notes and I didn't have these scriptures all written down or anything like that. I just knew that the Spirit of God would have something for us here tonight. Folks, I'll tell you what. If you've allowed the fire in your spirit to grow dim, you'll know it. You'll know it. If you know the difference between when it's burning bright and when it's not. But if you're here tonight, let's stand to our feet. Let's just lift our hands. Let's close our eyes. Let's just worship the Lord here for just a moment. Father God, we just bless you and we glorify you. Father, you are so holy and so good. We worship you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord God. We worship you, Father God. Blessed is your name. Blessed is your name. Father, you are holy. You are holy. Praise the Lord. Reverend Tony, would it be possible for you to lead us in that just the chorus part of that song? Holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Could you lead us in that whole? I know you know the one. Let's all just go ahead. Let's just sing along with this. Let's just worship the Lord. Let's take a moment. Praise you, Father. We bless it. We just bless your name.
Holy. Holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are
We bless you, Father. We just glorify you. Lord, we see that you live this life on this earth full of the Spirit. Lord, you got out there in the wilderness and you knew the difference between what was good and what was God. You knew how to face that devil. You knew how to stand and stand tall and stand up. And Lord, you resisted him until that devil had to leave you alone. And Lord, we thank you that we can have that same victory in this life. But Lord, we know that it's going to be very difficult to have that victory if we're not full of the Spirit. Or if we've allowed that brightness, that light to grow dim on the inside of our spirit. Father, we just bless you tonight. We glorify you. We magnify you. Come on, church, let's just praise him. Father, we worship you. We glorify you, Lord God. Father, you are holy and worthy. We bless you. Father, you are magnified in this place. If you're here tonight and you just be honest with yourself and say, Pastor, I was once filled with the Spirit and I've allowed things to go dim. And if you want some help to get back on track, you just kind of want to recharge, I'm going to call you up here in just a moment. There's no shame in this. Folks, we've all been there. I've been there. You've been there before. Folks, the important thing is that we live full now. Maybe, you know, the cares of life, all the things that we have to do and all the things that we chase and you know, all the stuff that we've got going on, sometimes it will choke out the word. Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, these are they which are sown upon thorny ground, where the cares of this life move in and choke out the word. Maybe the Spirit-filled life has been choked out in your life. Maybe you've walked away from that prayer in the Spirit, and you know you need to get back to that. And you just like a little help getting recharged here tonight. If that's you, come on down front. I want to minister to you. I want to lay my hands on you. God loves you, he cares for you. We got to live this life full. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to lay hands upon your head. And what we're going to do is I lay hands upon you, we're just going to start praying in the Holy Ghost. We're going to pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Oh, sobra bate se que prebete se que prabato sobra bate. Oh, sobra mande se que brabande se que brebando sobra la masa se que haces que no. Roba se que brebrota sabra mande se que brebasca caro. Oh, dramande se que prebete se que prabando se. Yeah. Yeah, these things too shall pass. These things too shall pass. Ora mande se que brebe. Ora mande se que. Get filled, stay filled, there won't be room for much else. Oh, so cobra mande se quebra mandusto cobranos. E de lebanda soto la braquitis te quebra do soco mandes. Oh, so cobra mande se quebra bade se quebra bade se que. Oh, so cobra mande se quebra deste quebra desta cara. Oh, socobra bate se que pregue. Oh, socobra mande se que pra mandou-se. Ondara mande se que prebatou-se. Ebra bande se que pra mandou. Socobra baqueste que. Ondara mande se que pra bate se que prebanda. Socobra bateste que prebanda se que pra mandou. And here's a young man that'll be known for his godliness. Not that he isn't already. Yeah. Mere steps are fully ordered of the Lord. You'll accomplish great things in the kingdom of God. Great things in the kingdom of God. Let's all just praise him. Let's bless him. Father, we just glorify you. We magnify you. We praise you, Lord God. We worship you. You are holy, Lord God. You are holy, Father. You are holy, Lord God. Holy, Lord God. Holy, Lord God. Mr. Scott Stutzman, could you come forward? Praise you, Lord. I've seen this for weeks. I was just waiting for the go-ahead. You want to stand right here. Praise the Lord. Can you just put your hands out? Yeah. But these are things that you do know, that you're called for this time and this purpose, and there is an assignment that is upon you for this community, and you are walking in that assignment well, and you are carrying that mantle well, but there is more for you to accomplish. There are many, many souls attached to your obedience in this community. You know that. You've seen that. You haven't shared it all over the place because you're a humble man. But the call on you is much larger than appears at the moment. And it's going to be vital. Not that you're not doing this already, but it's going to be vital for you to stay full. It's going to be vital for you to make decisions out of your spirit. Not that you're not right now, because you surely are. And I'm to lay my hands on you. And actually, my wife, if you would join me as well, Pastor Brad, if you could join me. Mr. Pete, if you could come here and join me. Reverend Randy, come on up here and join us, please. Could we all just place our hands on our brother? In Jesus' mighty name, Father, we place our hands and we agree for the call and the plan that you have on this man's life. And Father, for the souls that are attached to his obedience, Father, we pray that your strength, your wisdom, your guidance, Father, is upon him and within him. Father, to carry out faithfully that plan that you have started to show him in what we see here. So, Father, we thank you that Mr. Scott Stutzman goes forth in wisdom and power. And, Father, those parents, those in this community would see the light and the graciousness that you've placed upon this man to be effective. Father, we've seen great effectual working. It's going to grow. It's going to grow. It's going to grow. It's going to grow. It's going to grow.
Hallelujah.
Make sure his wife is up here. Molly, could you come forward too, please? This includes her. Molly, if you take your husband's hand there. I love you if you put your hands on Molly. Father, we thank you for this couple. That, Lord God, that they would walk in your spirit, in your strength, in your wisdom, in your righteousness. All that you have done through them to this point, it's about to multiply. And with that greater responsibility, with that greater grace, Father, we just call your ability upon him, your ability upon Molly. Father, that they would fulfill, that they would stand whole and complete in all the will of God. Father, we just release them and send them with your grace and your power and your wisdom, that they would be witnesses in this community, an example for all to see. Thank you, Lord. Families that had no hope will receive hope through this couple. Father, those that have walked in the shadow of darkness, light will spring upon them through this couple. And Father, we just thank you and we praise you for it. We glorify you. We magnify you. We glorify you, Lord. And it hasn't been easy. And there's been tests. And there will be tests. And some of the greatest challenges are yet to come. But the good news is the greatest victories are yet to come. The greatest influence is yet to come. The greatest anointing and grace of God is yet to come. And you'll walk in it as you are now. but it'll just be more and more evident. So in Jesus' mighty name, Jesus' mighty name, thank you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We praise you. Let's all just give the Lord some praise and glory. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. And because of obedience, your heart's desire will be met. Your heart's desire will be met. It'll all be met. Needs will be met. Met. Fully funded. Your heart's desire regarding the school. Your heart's desire regarding your home and your family. Your heart's desires. Things that God will bless you and your family with. Because you're faithful. Because you're faithful. There's going to be ministers in this community that are going to learn from you. There's going to be ministers in this community that they're going to sense something is lacking in their life, and they're going to see it in you. And you'll share with them, say, well, I want to show you these scriptures about the baptism of the Spirit. I want to show you what I know about the Spirit-filled life. Not because it's a family church thing, not because it's a denominational thing, but because it's a Bible thing. They're gonna see it in both of you, not that they're not already. So Father, we just release them to do all that you've called them to do. Thank you, Father. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. You can go ahead and go back to your seats. Father, we just bless you. Father, you are holy and good. You are holy and good. Come on, let's just worship all over the sanctuary when we dismiss. Father, we bless you tonight. We glorify you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Reverend Tony, can you go right into singing right there? Dismiss, and you know, I know we've been here for a while and things, and my mind starts telling me it's time to go and things, but you know what, on the inside, I just want to give this one last invitation. If you're here and you would just like hands laid upon you for any reason, it could be for any reason at all, and maybe you haven't had hands laid on you tonight, but you'd like to have hands laid upon you. If even the reason was, I just want to have hands laid upon me, that's a viable reason as well. But if that's you, you just come down front. I'll lay hands on you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Blessed is your name. Thank you. At times can get us off the devil's path and get us right on God's path. Father, you are so good. You are so good and faithful. Father, I thank you for this precious church family. Thank you, Lord, for what we're going to be doing in this next year to come. We've got things to do. We've got souls to win. We've got changes to make right here at this church. We've got times of breaking bread together ahead of us. Father, we thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lord, we know that the body of Christ over these last 3 years have been just under a dark cloud. Lord, we just choose not to participate in that. We know that this world is getting very, very dark, but the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter. And Lord, we know that that path is challenged, but when we're full, we know what to do. Father, that's the way we're going to live our life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Blessed is your name. We worship you, Lord. Glorify you, Lord. Magnify you, Lord God. Magnify you, Lord God. Magnify you, Lord God. Blessed is your name. Father, we love you and praise you. Father, we just love you and we praise you, Lord God. Lord, we just say this, we're just hungry for you. Not because we're trying to fit a certain mold, but we just want to fit your mold. We're just hungry for you. Hungry for you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. And Father, I am so grateful for the company that I get to run with. Thank you, Lord. Just bless you, Lord, tonight. We glorify you. Blessed is your name. Father God, we just worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Lord, if there's anything else, if there's anything else, if there's anything else, tough to close down a service like this. You know, in the presence of God, you just don't want to be hasty about it. Father, we want to be honorable. We just love you. We glorify you. Praise God. Just worship you, Father. Worship you. Holy, holy God. Holy God. Holy God. Holy God. Holy God. Father, we just command your blessings upon this company. Father, we thank you that angels go before us. No evil befall us, no plague near our dwelling. Father, thank you for what's ahead. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we understand that, you know, maybe sometimes as individuals, even as a church, even the body of Christ at large, we walk through wilderness. And Lord, I'll just say this. I know there's been a lot of wilderness going on these last couple years. Father, it's good to face these things full of the Spirit. And Father, we see the other side of it. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. There's been times that have certainly not felt good, but we're going to be tougher on the other side of it. Father, we're going to take the lessons that we learned. We'll apply them. Father, we'll be better for it. Thank you, Lord God. We just praise you tonight. We glorify your holy name. We worship you, Lord God. Worship you, Lord. Worship you, Lord God. Blessed is your name. Hallelujah. Well, folks, we're going to dismiss right here. I know we have our ushers are ready to take up the offering. Can we just do something a little different? Ushers, if you just want to go at the back door and be ready to receive. If you brought your offering here tonight, actually, Reverend Justin, stay right here because I have mine. I want to get that in there. But as we leave, let's just, you know, it just seems to bring these lights up right now and have the ushers take up the offering, it just doesn't seem right. But yet it doesn't seem right to just, you know, neglect the offering. So if you have something that you wanted to give tonight, the ushers are at the door to receive that as you go. Folks, we're going to be reverent to this, you know, the presence of God here tonight. So we're just going to kind of head on out quietly. folks, thank you so much for being here. You are dismissed.